Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish Coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like?
Let's talk
Step
about
one,
that.
Beg.
No, don't you dare. Don't you beg, don't you ask, and don't you pay.
Okay, so that's it. That's
major
rule three.
Right here.
Don't beg, don't ask,
don't pay.
Don't pay.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, the best sales podcast on the planet. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute.
And we are going to help you get better, sell better, be better, earn better, and have a great time doing it.
That's right. And if you're joining us for the first time, we would just like to say thank you. You're going to love this show.
And while you're joining us, why don't you ask both your friends to join us as well? You've got a point. Come on, go out there and get your customers, your prospects, your coworkers, not your competition, but get the best people you know to join. So, Jen.
All right.
Who's on the show today?
Coming up, we have an amazing episode with Stacey Brown Randall, and she's going to talk about the real two-part definition of referrals. Let me give you a hint. It may not be what you think it is.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear. And how many times have we called her Stacey Randall Brown?
That's I mess it up sometimes, but it's Stacey Brown Randall. And if you're not following her, you need to follow her immediately. She is super
very, very smart.
Good.
Yeah, she's real
yeah,
good.
She's great. And she's also going to give our diehards her five-step process to get the referral.
Cool.
I'm going to give you another hint. It does not include begging. Don't beg, don't ask, don't pay. That is part of her spiel. I
Whoa.
Love it. And she's going to tell you
that
what to do.
That eliminates a lot of people, you know, who are telling you to go beg for
them. I know. Yeah. And she's going to tell you what to do. What? And she's going to tell you what to do once you get the referral.
Oh, how to turn it into money.
That's right. That's right. That's the key. Doesn't everyone
so many people
know that?
Screw up referrals? It's depressing to me, literally.
Yeah, but Stacey Brown Randall is one of the few people who knows what to do and can clearly communicate how to do it. So this is going to be a great episode.
So let me talk about something that's bugging me, and then we can get into the show. I walked into a store yesterday, and they were having a, quote, sale. And I like this store. And I'm looking around for stuff that's on sale, and hardly anything's on sale, just a bunch of crap in the back of the store.
That's not cool.
No. Where's the value in the sale if you're just trying to turn over your inventory and reduce it at a lower price? If I'm going to walk into your store, any kind of business store, B2B, B2C, if you're going to have a sale, put everything on sale and make it a real value. Make it a bonanza. Because if you only sell me your crap and you advertise a sale next time, I'm not coming. But if you advertise a sale next time and everything is on sale, I'll be the first one there. Think about it. That's all I'm saying.
Not only will you be the first one there, you'll tell both your friends.
Exactly.
All right, diehards. So we have promised to read every single five-star review, or at least one a week that comes our way. And this one is one of my favorites. It comes from Alex. He said, thoroughly enjoy listening to this show because of the incredible guests they interview, the very minimal amount of ads, the tremendous amount of value, the Sell or Die community on Facebook where us listeners can talk about the most recent episode. Anymore, all these podcasts, I think he means I don't know. All these podcasts out here are plagued by ads at the beginning, middle, and end of the show, often interrupting the train of thought. Jeffrey and Jen seem pretty selective and loyal to the few companies that have ads on here. These two give value first, and it seems like they genuinely want to help as many salespeople, entrepreneurs, business people as they can. Thank you, Alex. That is correct.
Yeah, and please keep listening so we can begin our ad plugging program.
No, we are selective and loyal. Those are two really good things to pick up on.
So let me just deep dive here. We're about to get into referrals. Referrals are by far the most important aspect in the selling process other than actually making the sale. Because they're the proof that you are who you say you are, you performed the way you said you were going to perform, you did what you said you were going to do, and the quality of your product or services is good enough for someone to risk a relationship and give you a referral. I've written a lot about it. You've written a lot about it. I think it's probably the most maligned process in sales because sales managers have no idea how to do it. And salespeople are reluctant to do it because it makes them feel herky-jerky. But I don't want to wreck anything for Stacey Brown Randall's.
But here's the deal. It doesn't have to be the most maligned process if you listen to this episode. So let's get into it. Stacey Brown Randall.
Welcome. So Stacey Brown Randall is her name. I've suggested others, but that may not come along in any time soon. She's going to be writing
Jeffrey,
a book.
You wanted to give her a new middle name.
Right. I wanted her to be Stacey R. Randall. And someone says, what's the R stand for? And she goes, referrals. It's my middle name.
Anyway, if you're searching for her, it's Stacey Brown Randall on Google right now.
And she's probably StaceyBrownRandall.com. Are you?
That does exist, yes.
But it will.
It's also growthbyreferrals.com.
Same place. Yeah. And one other thing, she is writing a book that will be coming out
in October.
And what's the title of the book?
It is called Generating Business Referrals Without Asking.
Generating Business Referrals Without Asking. It's published by Rick Frischman. Morgan James Publishing. And so it will be available in a bookstore near you, or you can probably pre-order it at Amazon.com right now.
And I'm going to give you a little bit more background on Stacey.
You mean past Dean and DeLuca?
Yes.
What could be more powerful than that?
Well, this is pretty cool. Stacey's a three-time entrepreneur, certified productivity and time efficiency coach. She has a background in sales and marketing, and she is an author, and you can get her book on pre-order right now. She's received her master's in organizational communication and is married with three kids, an 8-year-old son, a 6-year-old daughter, and
our nephew.
Her nephew. I love that. Yeah. And she and her husband also welcome the newest member to their family as they have the privilege of raising their 9-year-old nephew. How freaking cool is that?
So that's the challenge. And we are here with Stacey live in the studio. Which is always kind of fun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that you're here in Charlotte.
The cool part is how everything comes about. Mm-hmm. You know, you bump into people. Our little rat kid has a root for the wrong
thing. I will tell my daughter that you called her a little rat kid.
Yeah.
She'll love that.
Yeah, I was thinking it was a girl, not a boy. But,
it was
details.
A girl.
Details.
And I was wearing the Boston shirt.
Oh,
details.
Well, there you go. See, it's
that's why you liked her and not me.
Short-term memory. Stacey, welcome to Sell or Die.
Thank you for having me.
And I think it's appropriate since referrals to me are the foundation of business growth, if you're doing it right. Otherwise, you're cold calling like a fool.
Right.
Or you're out networking, trolling for leads, which is the second best way. But referrals literally are the best way.
Right.
And I wonder if you could begin by sharing with us your personal definition of referrals.
Sure. And, you know, I always tell folks that when you're thinking about referrals, you have to understand the context in which they're best found. And that means you have to understand the definition of what a referral actually is. It has two things that most sales lingo or sales terminology doesn't have. The first one being a personal connection. So the definition of a referral, it has to have a personal connection, meaning that you know me, you know I do great work, and you know Jen needs something that I can help her with. And you make the personal connection between the three of us, right? And then the second piece is that the need already needs to be identified. So when the email, which is typically how it's done now, when the email comes across and it says, hey, Jen, I know you need to hire Stacy, right? Just using that example, right? It says why. So we're all on the same page as to what's happening next, mm-hmm. right? Not the, hey, you guys should meet and grow your network and maybe you get along really well.
That's a lead.
Right. That's just, and I call that an introduction.
Yeah.
Right. It is not, if we don't have the need identified and the connection made, we have something other than a referral. Typically, I would say it's word of mouth buzz, an introduction, or a warm lead.
What about the, hey, call that guy because he can help you or
warm
you can
lead.
Help him.
Yeah, warm lead. I agree.
Yeah. A lot of salespeople think that's a referral.
Because I'm giving
that person a referral. I told them to call and there's a need.
Well, and the reality of it is like, do we know there's a need and do we know that person really wants us to mm-hmm. call? And the other piece to that is, I mean, it is, we get excited about it. I think people still get excited about it because it's better than cold.
Right.
Right. But it is not a referral.
Yes.
To me, a referral has always meant that there's a sale at the other end of it or a potential sale at the other end of
it. And typically an easier sale.
And a connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Typically an easier sale if you do it right.
Right.
But you have to do it right. So, okay. Mm-hmm. So you give me a referral. Now what do I do?
Right. So typically, if that connection's been made, we're all on notice as to like what this is, right? We're not going to go meet for coffee just to talk about our careers and how we landed where we are, right? We're going to go and talk about because my friend, your friend or peer or whatever said you have a problem, they've identified it, and they've connected you with me as the potential solution provider.
Do you go with and have a three-way lunch?
I mean, I think most people are too busy for that. It can mm-hmm. always work. I mean, I would never say don't do it. But I think if the connection is made and the needs have been identified, it takes itself forward. Mm-hmm. And most of my business has been built just by, hey, that connection was made. The need was identified. I followed up and said, great. I love so-and-so. Thanks for the referral. They said you need to talk about this. When would you like to schedule time to do it? So we immediately go straight to that meeting that says, we're going to talk about business. And we're going to see if we're a fit. And I think the language gets to be different. There's no dog and pony sales show. There's no brochure I'm trotting out for you to see about my services. You already know you have a problem. You're just trying to figure out if I'm the right fit. Mm-hmm. And you already trust me. And you're less price sensitive. And I've already seen as valuable because somebody else told you I was.
I love that.
Yeah, the fit is a very important part.
And I think most of my messaging is around that. It's always around from that perspective. Hey, you know about me now. But let's just figure out if we should work together. It's a very non-threatening approach mm-hmm. to say, will this work?
Mm-hmm. And is the referral best met in a neutral place or at their place or at your place?
I think it kind of depends on how you want to do it. I know in the beginning when I was getting started, it was like, where do you want me? Right? Like, okay, you want to meet at Starbucks? Let's go. You want me to come to you? Right. Now I think as when I think about how my practice has grown and when I was like constantly on a waiting list for new coaching clients and stuff, it was basically I'm stacking you up and I'm going to meet one right after another. And typically I'd have them come to me. But I think that only happens when demand goes up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you have to discern kind of where you are in your business life cycle and what it looks like. And, you know, if it's a client you really, really want, well, then be willing to go to them. And if it's a client who says, let's meet somewhere, well, then choose the coffee joint closest to you, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Or choose your office.
But I've always felt that a neutral place was less intimidating for a first meeting. Hmm.
I completely agree for that. I think that going and grab Starbucks or, I mean, I would prefer coffee for a first meeting, never lunch. I think that even makes things more awkward.
I thought you were
going to
say I prefer coffee, not Starbucks.
Not lunch. No. But I think that the neutral location keeps it all easy. But I think it also depends on where are they in that process? And I find when a referral shows up, it's more like, can I give you my money? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, let's get moving on this.
Well, let's see if you can qualify for my money. Or let's see, you know, I have money. Are you willing to take yes for an answer? I mean, that's the whole deal. And oftentimes, someone will be a jerk. I mean, just because you have the referral doesn't mean you're going to make the sale.
No, and I think you're right. I think you have to go into it with that approach of this is mine to lose. Mm-hmm. Like everything's right. been set up for this to work. It's mine to lose. But at the end of the day, there's still a decision that buyer has to make. They still have to decide that I'm the right fit. I know that walking in with a referral, right, coming in because they've been referred to me, it sets the baseline for a different conversation. I don't trot out the dog and pony show. I'm like, let's get down to what you need to know to make a decision.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you talk about Bob? The guy who referred us together?
Oh, no, I meant the dog and pony.
Because you have Bob in common, right?
Right, oh, exactly. You have to bring that up. That's actually one way to plant a referral seed in the new prospect's mind. It's reminding them that you were referred to me. It helps them make the decision to buy, and it helps them remember if they become a client, that's right, I did come through referral, and it plants the seed to hopefully bloom additional referrals.
So a lot of our diehards live and die by referrals.
Yep.
You have a five-step process on how to get the referral.
Right.
Let's talk about that.
Step one, beg.
No. Don't you dare. Don't you beg. Don't you ask. And don't you pay.
Okay. So that's it.
That's major right here.
Don't beg. Don't ask.
Don't pay.
Don't pay.
Okay.
So no rewards. So, we have a reward program.
If you refer me. Okay. Right. Let's go into detail.
If you refer some unqualified prospect and they so happen to buy.
And then be a pain in my butt because they were unqualified and not the right fit.
Right. So we're getting Stacy to loosen up her language a little bit.
Hi, my name is Christy Walters, and I, along with my friend Jeff Bajorek, host the Why and the Buy podcast on the Sell or Die Network. It's August, and for us, that means our show is all about mindset. We have got some killer guests coming up, like Tom Singer, Tracy Thorson, and even the Sell or Die man himself, Jeffrey Gittimer. We have something for everyone here on the Why and the Buy podcast, so definitely check out our Monday musings and monthly book clubs as well. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search the why and the buy. And remember, when you know your whys, your hows and your whats get much better.
Are you an actual Boston person?
No.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I have to remember my parents could listen to this, right?
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Where were you actually raised?
Do they know our show's rated E?
Yeah.
I'm not
sure. Which is not for everyone.
Not for everyone. So originally, I was born in Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
So you're like a Millikan girl.
My mom's parents worked for Millikan.
Cool.
Yeah, that's Spartanburg, though. We don't call him Spartanburg. Huh. I think Greenville's different.
Yeah, got it.
Complex. Okay.
Much, much different. You have to cross the street.
Right. And drive past the BMW plant.
Right.
And then you're in Greenville.
Got it.
Yeah. All right.
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry.
So your five-step process.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
So don't ask, don't beg, don't pay.
Right. So that's just my overarching philosophy. That's my belief, right, mm-hmm. is that you shouldn't ask, you shouldn't pay, and you should never beg. And you should never manipulate, right? A referral actually doesn't have a lot to do with you. So when I teach people how to go through my five-step process, I always tell folks, nothing I'm going to teach you is going to be rocket science, right? I mean, at the end of the day, like, you may have not thought about it in this way, but it is not rocket science. And so step one is always, we need to know who's referring us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people go through step one, and it's either the big aha moment of, wow, I don't spend any time with the people who actually refer me,
mm-hmm.
or, oh my gosh, I have no referral sources. It's one of the other reactions is typically right. what I find. Or I've got a couple, and wow, I need more. So, but step one of the process is to know who's referring you, okay. right? Who are the people? And I don't mean... You kind of know them. Like, what are their names? And I tell folks the easiest way to do this is do what I call walk down memory lane. Now, if you have a CRM, it'll be easier. If you don't, you're going to have to sit down with a list of your clients and try to remember how they became a client, how they first hear about
walk
you.
Walk down memory lane?
Yeah, well, if you have 10 years of clients, that's a big walk down memory lane trying to remember where they came from. If you capture that information, it'll be way easier.
Most people are not sophisticated enough to capture those.
All right, so who are they? So I'm going to give you something that you're going to owe me terribly for.
Is it a book title?
No.
Do I want it?
Whenever anyone says to me, it's not rocket science, it's like someone saying to me, it's a no-brainer.
Okay.
Everything's a brainer. Mm. Like a no-brainer's for idiots and morons that can't think. But this is a brainer. It takes – okay, so it's not rocket science, Mr. Jones, but it is rocket fuel.
Oh, that is good. You're right. I'm going
to
owe you.
Yeah, you're going to owe me. Well, I'm not giving it to you. I'm just telling you.
You're just letting me use it.
I'm using it.
Forever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's mine. Every time I use it, do I have to say that you gave me the idea?
Or I would send a check.
I would, yeah.
Maybe I'll just say your name.
That would probably be better. So we've established that Stacey's a cheap bastard. Okay. Now.
I was going to say something else, but I'll just let that go.
You can say all whatever
right,
you want.
All right.
Takes one to know one.
Got it.
Okay, sorry. Moving on.
All right. She can dish it out. I love this.
All right. So step one is knowing who our referral sources are. So mm-hmm. if you've been in business 2 years, 10 years, 15 years, you have a list of clients. You should figure out how they came to know you.
Or friends. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be a client. It's a relationship that you have
right.
with someone that you value and who values you back.
Yes. Exactly. But I would say the way to figure out who those people are is typically look at your client list and figure out which of those clients came through a referral.
Okay.
And then what's the name of that referral source? So like if you were a client and I was like, oh, you came through Steve. Right. It's Steve's actually the name I want, not yours.
Right.
I mean, that's great.
Right. So you're very specific list of the people who have made referrals for you.
Yes. Easiest way for me to do that, if I haven't captured it, is to start with my clients. Mm-hmm. Now we're missing, right? We're going to miss out on some referral sources if we don't go back to our list of prospects who never became clients. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's just too much homework for one person.
Yeah. Yeah. That can be a lot.
Because it already sounded like work to me.
I know, right? You just got exhausted just thinking about it.
Long memory lane.
Yeah, so we at least start from clients because they're easier to be able to tell, okay, who are the people who referred them? So we go through our list of clients. We pull out the ones that were referred to us, and we get the referral source name. That list becomes gold. And the argument I always make is that's the most important list in your business. I personally believe it's more important than your clients. Not that your clients aren't important, but those people are the people who believe enough in you to drop business in your lap. So you're mm-hmm. not networking and cold calling and cold emailing and traveling around to every conference and, you know, sponsoring every trade show out there. So I love clients. I love all of mine, but I love my referral sources more.
I gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
Because they make business easier.
So I have this list. Now what?
Perfect. The second step is most people will look at it and be like, oh, yeah, got it. Move on. Can we get to the good stuff? Because I call step three the meat and potatoes and step four the secret sauce that makes the meat and potatoes taste good. But so everybody wants to skip step two, but it's really critical. It is simple. It's you have to have a process that you follow every time you receive a referral. And I just mean it's a thank you process, mm-hmm. but it has to be followed immediately.
Okay.
Right? It's simple as writing a thank you note, mm-hmm. right? But you have to have a process where you thank right away for the referral received. And the fundamental piece behind that is why do you think you deserve more if you can't thank for mm-hmm. the one I just gave you? Mm-hmm. And that's just, I mean, my mother would probably say that's just good manners.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But it's actually just good business. Like,
right.
Because most people don't
receive. Well, it's both.
It is. It's both.
So let's call it a standard response process.
Would you template it?
So you can, but you can't be right. So some people, if the goal of my program is to not just get you more referrals from lots more people, it's to get you more referrals from the people who are already referring you, mm-hmm. which means you probably need to mix up what you're saying. But uh-huh. there are a few, because if I'm going to write the same thank you card in a month,
right.
three times for your right. three referrals, right. I don't need to say.
It seems pretty disingenuous.
And again, right. thanks, or number two.
Right. right. So I always tell folks, like, just break up what you're going to say. And, you know, in my program, I give that language because people are like, what do I say? And I'm like, here is the script, and here's
cool.
like five variations
Very
of it,
cool.
right? But at the end of the day, what we're after is for you to thank them, you to plant a referral seed, and then you to make sure you're still ending with a give. So it's thank you for, you know, thinking of me to refer me so-and-so. And when I use the name, I've planted a seed because I may not remember I referred you, but I definitely remember that I referred you Jeffrey.
Mm.
Right? It's the connection of what I did helps remind me, kind of just a little seed that gets planted in our subconscious that's kind of like, oh, yeah, that's what I did. Right? And then you end with a give, which is let me know how I can help you or how can I make this year great for you or something to that effect of is there a way that I can, you know, do something for you? The truth is you're writing it on this little 5x7 card. You don't have a ton of room. But you do need to make sure that you're thanking, you're planting the seed by using the
name. A card meaning not an email?
No emails.
Oh.
No. And this is
it's
handwritten.
Here's the handwritten card.
Here's the question.
All right, go ahead.
People are going to be offended that they haven't received an email thank you right away.
Okay, so you can do that, but it does not substitute for you then taking time to write a handwritten card.
I love it.
So yes. Handwritten letter to follow.
Oh, yes. So so here's the thing. Remember, if a personal connection happens to make it a referral, I'm getting an email with both people on the email, the person sending it and the person that's my new prospect. I'm immediately hitting reply all, thanking the person who referred, and then moving into time to meet. And then I'm writing a thank you card.
I gotcha.
Yeah, you got to do all the pieces. Okay, but you can't – but most people aren't – they don't think like that. They think the email's good enough.
Right.
Or the text is good enough.
I'm against if there's anything I can do for you.
What language would you suggest?
I would suggest nothing.
Okay.
I would suggest a sincere thank you, and I'll keep you posted as to what happens.
So
– and the reason is – that, okay, thanks, Stacy. I'd like a new house and a car. Because what you're saying is so open-ended that it's almost dangerous. And it doesn't sound to me like it's the most sincere thing you can do.
So I think in some cases, you're going to know your referral source and you should know them well enough to actually make it personal at the end. But I do think that you should end with something that reminds them of how valuable they are to you and that you are here for them.
I would end with, I totally appreciate this.
Perfect.
I would end with something that has a sincere thank you attached to it.
Right.
Referrals are everything to me, and I appreciate you taking the time to do it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that way, I'm not saying if I can do anything for you to return, it's like you owe me one, and right. you've measured for this referral, and I don't want to owe somebody.
So, and I would never suggest the language to be written, whereas the person writing it felt like that's what they're saying. I do think there are people who will write, you know, I know you're looking to grow your business this year. Let me know how I can help. And don't like it.
No,
but there are people out there who write it, and it feels like they're giving in that moment. And because they know the person they're writing it to, the context is understood. But you don't have to write it.
Okay. I've made my case.
If there's someone I feel I can make a genuine connection for, and I just don't have the person in mind who I can connect them with right now, but I feel like I can genuinely help them grow their business, I might add to the letter, I'm looking forward to helping you grow your business as well. Something right. like that.
Yep.
Because for me, that's genuine. But you don't have to say, you don't have
napping.
To send that.
I was
you don't,
napping.
That doesn't have to be from you.
I just think that you feel like you owe them some debt of gratitude. And
people do feel like that. When people get a referral, people do feel like, wow, you just gave me gold.
Right.
And now I owe you gold.
Show me something. Do something. Don't say, well, if I can do anything for you in the future.
No,
okay, but
there's
don't
a
disconnect.
Difference between right. if and I'm looking forward to helping you grow your business.
Yeah.
But the truth is the thank you card has to be written right away.
Okay.
And if you don't know how to do it, and here's the thing.
Yeah,
I also
thank
tell
you card
folks,
like 6 months later is not really a thank you card.
It's kind of worthless.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like a, I'm sorry, I suck kind
yeah.
of. And now I'm getting this card. I actually, in my program, we call it the elephant in the room script. Let's just go ahead and put it out there. I have never thanked you and let me own it. So now I can start thanking you and it'll feel normal and natural. But I always tell folks, like when you're thinking about that kind of language, right, the thank you card has to be sent right away. The odds of me sitting on a referral for you or
right.
anything else I can do for you in that
zero.
Moment is zero. So it's that way to say give. But remember, our referral sources are about to become this list of gold, most important people. And we are, when we move into step three, we're thinking about them throughout the year.
Right. So
if I was in step two, I would thank rather than give.
The other thing you might be able to do to follow the give methodology is if you see an article or something that might help the person, print it out and include it in there. I thought you might be interested in this article. I thought this might help you grow your business, that kind of thing.
Yes. And I think that kind of how you guys have looked at it, if you have something, you can do it. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to give, you just want to thank, that's fine too. Here's what I always tell folks. It's subjective,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be yours. And that is, I think, what makes my program different from most, because whereas I do give scripts, I always say, put it in your language and make sure it sounds like you. It can't sound like Stacy because nobody knows who she is when you're sending this to your referral
right.
source. And authenticity is a huge part of my program. And if you're not authentic, everybody can tell. So I wouldn't tell you to say it if it didn't feel right to you. But to the attorney who doesn't know what else to say, and he is like, I just want to say something, sometimes it works. But
thanks for the billable hours. could have said that.
Yeah, but sincerity,
Stacey, you're correct.
I'm not billing you for this thank you note.
Yeah. We should all CPAs say that too.
Yeah.
Sincerity exactly. is the key in sales. Exactly. If you can fake that, you got it made.
All right. So let's move on. What's step three?
Okay. So step three is great. We know who these people are, our referral sources. We know what we do immediately after receiving a referral. But the idea is that we're not going to receive a referral every day or every week or every month from the same person normally, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we make sure that we are staying top of mind in a memorable and meaningful way throughout the year? So step three is kind of building out, and I have my students build it out as like a 12-month process. We are not doing something every month, so don't misunderstand me on that. But we build it out on a year-long process to say, what can we do that allows us to be memorable and meaningful to stay top of mind with our outreach, or what we call touch points in the program? And it's building in ways for you to be authentic, for you to mean it, and for you to do something about them. So I always tell my students when they're going through the program, we build step three with three platinum principles in mind. First, everything we do is all about them. This is not a water bottle with my logo on it that I give to you to say thanks.
Yeah, no offense. I don't want a logo, your logo on my water bottle.
Right. You want to put my logo and give it to me, right? I'll
right,
take it.
Exactly. That's exactly.
Great. But I'm not interested in that, right? So we have to, whatever we do, we have to make it about them.
Okay.
The second thing is it's got to be authentic to us, right? And the third thing is it's got to keep us top of mind. So we have to do it enough so that we stay top of mind.
What are some examples?
Wait.
Yes.
All about them, authentic, and what's the third one?
Keep you top of mind. Which I believe is different from keeping in touch. Keeping in touch is that newsletter you're going to send out once a month. Great. I would tell you never not to, but it is not a referral plan. Mm-hmm. Like, it is not the same thing. And so there's other things you can do, of course. So when I think about, you said examples, when I think about some of the best things that I've done. So I, one year for Christmas, I took my best referral sources. Like, these are the people who send me usually 10 or more referrals in a year. And I, M&M company had a sale on these little like gumball machines that you put M&Ms in, except in the M&Ms, I put their picture.
Oh, cool.
On it. So it was like their pictures with some M&Ms that said, I think referrals rock, or, and one said Merry Christmas, and the other one said their company logo and then their picture.
Cool.
And so when they got it.
They must be pretty big M&Ms.
No, they're not. They're tiny. It's amazing what they can put
on
an M&M.
Yeah, they can customize those. They're really freaking cool. Yeah. People do them for weddings
They've
now.
And if you buy them on Cyber Monday, they're like cheap. So I got them for my top referral sources. I sent it. And it actually takes quarters to work the M&Ms. We learned this the hard way. It takes quarters to operate that M&M machine. So we literally sent quarters along with the gift.
Very well done.
Right? And then so they get it and they can't really tell, but they're pulling them out and then they're like, wait a minute, I'm eating my face. Right? They're like, that's a picture of me. And they loved it.
Yeah.
And the reality is I did something that it was they're going to get a Christmas gift for me anyway. That's how my process is built. I don't tell everybody you have to do a Christmas gift or a Hanukkah gift or anything. Right?
What do you give them?
So I think there are different things you can do that work for you. And I teach a process in the program called Memory Runway, which means the things at the top of the runway I have to do less of because they're more memorable versus the things at the bottom of the runway that I have to do more of because they're not memorable, which is email. Mm-hmm. Anything email, whether it's an article, whether it's a how are you, whether it's check-in, you got to do way more of that because you're just noise in their inbox.
Yeah.
Versus if I send you, right, an M&M Christmas gift, or I take you to play a round of golf, which I would never do.
Top golf.
Right. Mm-hmm. Something like that, right? Then from that perspective, I can do less of it because you're going to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But that goes back to the second principle, which is authentic to you.
Hold on. But the mm-hmm. golf experience is a one-time experience. And yes, they'll remember it. But how top of mind does that make you versus an M&M gumball machine that you're probably have around, I don't know how big it is, but I'm assuming for a couple of weeks, maybe months, depending on how often, you know.
Right.
Show it to people or whatnot.
So this is why I always tell folks that we have to what I call mind our M&Ms. And this was separate from that gift. But I call it
very sweet remark.
Minding our M&Ms, which is memorable and meaningful.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Right. So if you know I love to play golf and I mentioned you have never been to Top Golf and then you take me, that's really memorable
that's
and
cool.
meaningful.
Yeah.
I go 15 times a month and you're taking me,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I get M&Ms. It's going to be memorable and meaningful no matter what because right. I'm not getting that every day. So you're right. There is, but you also don't have to do big shows of appreciation.
Yeah.
In my program, I tell folks it's perfectly legitimate. And I would encourage you to have like a random thank you card that you just send, just to remind them in your handwriting that you appreciate them and that you value them. So not everything has to be expensive. And some people don't have it, so we have to build them on a shoestring budget. But when we have the time and energy to go big, I sometimes tell folks, well, then go big, mm-hmm. like that M&M idea. But it has to be authentic to you, right? So for example, I would never take my referral sources to play golf. I can play. I just don't enjoy it. If playing golf to me means I want to sit on the golf cart with a beer and read a book, but don't ask me to get off the cart, right? So I wouldn't go take people
especially
to play
golf.
Particularly in the summer, in Charlotte, of all places, right? Yeah. But it's just like, I have a few people who've been through my program, and I get to know my students pretty well, and some of them are, you know, recovering alcoholics. They would never send alcohol as a gift. So it's being authentic to who you are.
How do you identify those?
But making it... I mean,
Mr. Jones, they might self-identify. Where did you get that nose?
I just meant because they're my students, and so I know, and they're like, well, everybody sends wine. Should I send wine? And I'm like, well, are you against sending wine? And that's sometimes how it'll come out. And I'm like, well, then don't send wine.
Right. Why would you then send wine?
Right. Yeah. Like, you don't have to.
Some people are whiners.
Yeah. Yes, you're not a whiner.
No.
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? This is how I learned it, when it's all about them. If you go into a prospect's office and you have two sets of pictures, one of your kids and one of their kids, which one do they want?
Their kids.
Correct. And that's...
I don't know. My kids are pretty darn cute.
I understand that, but no one's going to buy.
True.
So that's, I mean, that's how I look at it. And the other thing is, if you go to Manhattan, on every fourth street corner, you're going to see people that sell these new laser cut pop-up cards.
Oh, yeah.
With pictures of Ferris wheels
and
Statues of Liberty.
Yes.
And they're down to like $3 or $4 now.
Yes. Yeah, they used to be $9 a card.
Yeah.
Yes, I actually just promoted that inside my student-only Facebook group.
Oh, wow.
Someone had told me. I didn't know about them, and they were like called pop-up cards.
You didn't know about them?
No, and one of my students told me. So now all my students know.
You don't go to New York City? Have you heard of New York City?
I have been. Okay. I have heard of it, but yes.
And when's the last time you were there?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question.
See, there you go.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So go to New York. Roam the streets, and you can see what's new and what's next. But those cards are phenomenal.
They are cool. I had one of my students in the Growth by Referrals program did them and sent it out and got amazing feedback on them. So, which is – and the cards are great.
Yeah. Yes.
There's also
– There's one of a Boston Skyline, too, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
There's one of a bag lady – one of the business people is a bag lady. Her name's Pamela Barsky. And she has the coolest bags for $10. And they're like those little zipper.
They're little pouches.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But they're canvas bags.
Yes.
They're nicer.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I like to pretend I'm French is Jen's favorite. And there's clean ones and dirty ones. Yeah. but they're cool.
Right.
And they're different.
Yes.
The key in anything you send to somebody is it cool enough for somebody to say, wow, this is cool?
Right. Can they relate to it? Is it personal to them?
Right. I don't want your bling. I want mine.
Mine, which is why we focus on being memorable and meaningful. And not everything has to be a big show of money, right? And not everything has to be a big display. Some things are, but we're doing this throughout the year. So we're building it. We build it in step three so that we, A, know what it looks like, B, are ready to execute on it. We understand what the budget looks like, and we know we're spacing things out so we can stay top of mind.
So for our diehards on a shoestring budget, besides cards, what are some of the other lower cost things that you might recommend?
So not everybody's going to have referral sources who are local, but if they are local, one-on-one time is actually really important. And you may not be able to afford a round of golf or a pedicure, but you probably could take someone to coffee and then just only talk to them.
At Amelie's.
Great. Or just because you can't go to Dean and DeLuca anymore Starbucks, here.
Right. Yeah. But Amelie's is cool. It has ambiance, and it's, if they've never been there before, it's like, wow, this place is really cool.
It's different, right? Yeah. But then when you go, you talk only about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, like, there are things to do. And I'm not against you sending the article that you found that you think they'll really appreciate, but please don't send it to me where I can tell I'm one of 1,000 people that may have gotten it.
The same article, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like an personal. Individualized yes. article that we really
So, you have to say
to.
Something like, I'm only sending this to you, I swear to God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My banker, something like that. My banker takes me in New York. She takes me to manicures. And
yes.
It's really fun.
And she knows
really
you
fun.
Like it.
She knows I love manicures.
Right.
And she knows it's like a thing because my grandma never wanted me to not have nice nails.
Lovely.
So show us your
grandmother
nails.
Grandmother was so disappointed in me.
They're nice,
nails,
yeah.
So mine aren't, so we're not going to look at them. Moving on.
So like anytime she knows I'm in New York, she's like, want to go get a mani? I'm like, yeah. Yes. And then we get to chat for an hour, you know? So
yes. And my guess is she's probably talking about you until you start asking questions about her.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right. She'll ask you about stuff that she knows you're interested in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Once you know a person for a longer time, you know their buttons.
True.
You know what they like. You know what they don't like. And so we'll invite you over when the Red Sox make the playoffs. And we can have a – well, I'll make chili.
Oh, man.
And
that'd be great.
We make some good chili around here.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. So we'll see you this year?
Pardon?
We'll see you this year?
Yep.
Sure.
We'll
be rooting for the Yankees.
Yeah.
So my husband will be cheering with you.
Okay, cool.
He's a diehard Yankee fan.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good.
Cool.
Yes. Okay.
Same here.
Step four.
So.
Yeah, step four.
So step four is the what we say. All right. So if we want to be memorable and meaningful, we also want to make sure that we're connecting the reason why we're giving this back to what makes it important to receive it. So it's always the you mean a lot to my business. Thank you. The appreciation, the acknowledgement. And what I teach in my program and I always call it my secret sauce. What I teach in the program is the language to use that shows gratitude and appreciation and thankfulness, but also allows us to plant referral seeds. So one of the easiest ones that I always tell folks to consider is when you're writing that original thank you card and you put the person's name in, like, thank you for referring Jeffrey to me, that is actually a referral seed planted, right? It's really simple. None of the stuff is like super, super complicated, but it takes forethought. And what I have found with most of my students is they're like, great, now just tell me what to say.
There's a much – it seems like there's a huge difference between, dear Stacy, thanks for making that great referral for me, or thanks for making a referral for me, or thanks for referring Jeffrey to
You're
me.
One hell of a gal.
Right.
I mean, like, I can feel the difference.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty right. cool.
And so then, you know, one of the other things I always tell folks when they're thinking about putting in their card, another way to plant a referral seed is to make some words plural, right? Mm. It is an honor and a privilege to help the people you know and care about, right? It's just that easy way. Not everything's blatant in your face. Referral, referral, right. referral.
Is it possible to say, thanks for referring Jeffrey. I'm meeting with him next week.
Sure.
And I'll keep you posted.
Sure.
Then I mean, to
when
me,
you go
that's...
back, it's a referral seed planted.
Yeah.
Let me give you the update. Now, you may have some diehards that are listening. They're like, oh, I'm a financial advisor and I can't break that confidentiality. And I always say, when someone's – I get this objection a lot. When someone says, I can't go back and tell them that we're meeting, I always say, they know they were referred to you. It wasn't done in secret. If you're in the, you know, medicine world, don't break HIPAA laws. But at the end of the day, like, it's okay to go back and tell them that you met with them. It's okay to go back and tell them what happened. Right. And then it's also okay to tell the person, like, hey, I'm going to let so-and-so, I'm going to let, you know, Jen know, Jeffrey, that we met and things were great. Yeah. Or, gosh, I'm going to let Jen know that Jeffrey, you and I met, and I don't ever want to do that again.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about that. So someone refers you to someone, and you go and you have the meeting. You're like, wow, I'm glad they thought of me, but that's the worst kind of referral for me on the planet because they would never be my customer.
Yes.
What do you do?
Okay. So I still
think you thank them.
In the beginning,
we're asking the expert Jeffrey.
Right. So that, yes, we always think, right, regardless of fit, their ability to qualify is not their responsibility. It is on you. But, so I always tell people in the beginning, focus on quantity. If you're just trying to plant the habit, in somebody else to refer people to you, the easiest way to do that is to build up that habit in them by just taking the quantity. Like, you just want quantity. You want to think and make sure that they are referring back to you.
I got a great one. Thanks for referring Bob to me. He was kind of shitty, but the next person that you refer to me has got to be better.
I bet will be awesome.
It couldn't be any worse.
So I always tell folks, like, always go for quantity first. Eventually, though, right? And this is for people who have like no referral sources or they get one every 5 years. Like, let's build up some quantity. Right? Or once a year is even not enough. Like, let's focus on some quantity. But you are right. At some point, you have to shift to quality. At some point, and I always tell my students in the program, there's a language that we use that we talk about, and there's kind of a script that you can follow if this conversation is uncomfortable to you. Remember, most of the people who go through my program, they're actually undertaught how to sell. They got into business because they're really good at being an attorney or a CPA or a home builder
or
a financial.
And sales to them is a dirty
at
word
their
anyway.
Service.
Right, yes. Right. And so to them, they just want to be the resource and the expert and not the always hustling salesperson.
And they're, quote, professional.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And they don't want to talk about sales. They'll call it practice development.
Right.
But they're not going to call it
sales.
Never
call it sales. Yeah. Right. So, you know, them knowing that there's language that you can then use, right, that will help guide them to have this conversation. It's that idea of saying, let me tell you where I do my best work. Right. So thank you so much for referring so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so to me. It was great with so-and-so because this is what they need and this is what I do. Let me tell you why it didn't really work for these two. And let me tell you where I do my best work. Here's the thing. If I'm just getting into the habit of referring to you, don't give me homework.
Right.
I don't want to remember. I'm trying to get into a place that you want me to be, which is referring to you. Eventually, that conversation, when I'm already in the habit of referring, that conversation won't feel like work to me. It'll feel like, oh, I'm doing better, okay. Right? I'm helping more, right, from that perspective. So that's language that I typically find that people are comfortable using, right? Now, the other type of folks that are attracted to my program are those people who've been overtaught how to sell. They know every trick and script in the book.
He sounds manipulative.
Right? So yeah, I'm talking about my financial advisors.
And Boston, correct? And
they do not.
They are, you know,
somewhere
everything.
In Jersey, I'm sure.
Anything we tell them is just a review.
No, so the people who've been overtaught how to sell are my realtors, right? They're my financial advisors.
Really?
Property and casualty insurance agents. Those that have those sales training programs in-house, and they teach them this way to close and this situation and here are your scripts.
And how to ask for
and
a
then
referral.
And how to ask for it.
Yeah. Right.
And I love getting a card from a real estate agent that says, I run my business by referral. And I would really appreciate
it.
They all do it.
They all do it.
Some jackass told
them that. The best compliment you can give me is a referral.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
No, I can give you a better compliment.
Well, if I wanted to give you a compliment.
Yeah. I can think of a compliment, but it rhymes with other words.
And that are not probably polite. That idea of telling people where you do your best work is an easy way for people who aren't used to having that conversation to be able to have that conversation. But that's not, I mean, the idea there is that sometimes you can, there are definitely other ways to have that conversation. I've just found the person who's not going to have the straight, direct conversation needs a, what I call the Southern polite way to get into it. And it feels good for them. I mean, I have
I'm very direct.
It wasn't the best fit. So now what do you do?
Yes.
Right.
It wasn't the best fit. What do you say?
So you can always come back and tell them, right? And the language that I always tell folks to use is, thank you so much for referring so-and-so to me. It wasn't a fit. I wasn't able to help them. Here's hopefully potentially who I gave them to that will be able to help them. Mm-hmm. Right. I just want
you. I gave them to the competitor that I hate the most.
Only if they're bad.
Yeah.
Right. Here's who I did give them to. And, you know, and here's why. In the why explanation of why I couldn't work with them and they could, it helps define how and where I do my best work.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Here's what you have to remember. People are inherently lazy.
No. Wait a second.
Really?
I mean, not the three of us and
obviously,
Steve, but the rest of us, you know, we're just lazy.
Yeah.
So
I tell my audiences, I'm going to give you a list of people that want to buy now. Is that okay?
Yeah.
go, <"Ugh.">
No working folk?
Like, dude.
But people are inherently lazy, so they're only going to remember the one thing they want to remember about you, right? Most people know me as the person who teaches you how to generate referrals without asking. But I have another program called Sticky Client Experiences that helps you have a client experience to be worthy of referrals and be referable. Right? It takes time before someone's actually going to put two things about Stacey in their brain, right? They're inherently lazy and they're going to pick one thing to remember you by, which means always going to refer you for that one thing. As your relationship grows, they're more willing to invest the brain space in remembering more things about you.
And can we, just as an aside, can we try to guess the fifth thing?
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yes. Go.
All right, go, Jeffrey.
My guess would be whatever you do, it has to be consistent and professional so that it builds your brand and your image.
Very close.
Ooh.
All right.
So stay out of New Jersey.
It was the first word he used with a C.
Consistency.
Has something to do in that realm.
You have to follow be consistent about everything you're doing throughout all 12 months
you're
of
guessing,
the year
Jen.
With your referrals.
You're guessing.
Well, you kind of cheated by going first.
Yeah.
It's hard to follow.
Well, it was your idea, so you had already been thinking about it. That's why I wanted to give you, you know, he had time.
So here's what I tell folks. When you think about step one through step four, right, we know who these referral sources are. We know who to we know how to thank and when to thank, and we know what to do in between receiving referrals and what to say while we're doing it. And so what we're doing is building a referral experience. So what your referral sources need is an experience. They need those touch points throughout the year with the right language and to feel loved on. But you're a business owner, so you need a process. Mm. And step five is all about taking what we've built and turning it into a process. I don't mean you can outsource it all. You cannot give someone else to write your cards. It's not how it works.
Yeah.
But you need a process to follow. And so in the program, especially this, it's module four in the program, I teach how to automate this. Like, what does this look like to make this come off of an Excel document, mm-hmm. off of some template that we just built, and put it into actually the chance of being executed on? So it's building that process. It's automating it as most as we can so that we can be consistent.
But it still means personalization, though, right?
Totally. And I think that's why people are drawn to what I do. Like, I have a lot of realtors that come to my program, and they're participating in somebody else's, right? And it's all the same thing. I get cards from them. I'm like, oh, my God, you guys
Whose
all send out the same cards.
Program could they take?
Programs. There's other Whatever. Programs. Whatever. And some of them, parts of them are great.
Right. But a lot of them aren't only referral. You're only referral. So they
yes.
have a whole sales process, and they have like a section on referrals, correct?
Yes. And typically what I find is they have a section on referrals that just says go ask because I don't know what else to tell you.
Or send a thank you note saying I run my business by referrals.
And put in your signature.
Yeah. Now that we know this whole five-step process, I'm dying to know how you came up with this.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's really interesting. Sheer necessity.
Okay.
So when you said in my introduction, I have had multiple businesses.
Yeah.
That actually doesn't mean I'm good at them.
Okay.
Okay. I'm good
See,
now.
You people assumed she was good at them.
Yeah.
By the way, I said it.
Sometimes I have to learn the hard way mm-hmm. to actually get to myself to where I need to be successful. So I actually had an HR consulting firm that I ran for a number of years, and it failed. And it was the most painful process I have ever been through. And yes, financially it sucks, and mentally and emotionally it's awful. But let me tell you, the kick to your ego is like the worst ever.
I'm sure.
And, you know, particularly in a marketplace where people are just nosy and want to know mm-hmm. things, right? They want to know what happened. And so when I realized why did my business fail, so I had to go back to corporate America and get a job. And luckily that was short-lived. And before I started my coaching practice, that evolved into what I do now with training with referrals. But what I realized is I didn't have a way to consistently bring in new business. But here's the kicker, in a way that I was willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried every business development tactic out there. What I will do is I will stand up and speak, right? And I will figure out how to get referrals. So when I realized, wow, I had clients like KPMG, BDO, City of Charlotte, Snyder's Lance, back when they were just Lance in my pants, right? And then also even Coca-Cola Consolidated Bottling. And I had clients like that, yet I worked too darn hard for every single one that I was able to land. And not one of them came through a referral. And what I realized is that but I'm relationship-based.
Mm-hmm.
Introvert, extrovert, I don't care. I care about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was focused on the relationships and I looked back in my business, I was like, I never got any referrals, but they come from relationships. Let me go figure out how you get referrals. So what I read all the books. And what do they tell me to do? Ask. I was like, asking feels like a cousin to a cold call. I don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it.
It puts the other person in an exceptionally uncomfortable position,
mm-hmm. yes.
even if they're a friend of yours.
Even if they love you.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And so, I mean, I don't even want to ask my husband for help, right? I mean, like at the end of the day, like it's not asking for help so much as it's putting them in that uncomfortable position to do something for you they had no intentions.
You know, it's funny, you'll ask him to buy you a car, but you won't ask him to give you a
car. I will buy my own car. But maybe some. I'm just, I don't know. But no, so that idea is that when my business failed, I had to figure out a way to make the next business really successful.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized.
Did you self-actualize about it? Did you analyze what happened?
Oh, yes. I have these lessons that I've learned and that I've applied in my second business. And so I was the guinea pig. I was like, I'm not going to cold call. I'm not going to cold email. I have three kids. At that point, I had two. All right. We hadn't taken custody of our nephew. But I was not going to spend every night networking. I had small children. You know, I was finishing up my master's degree. I was like, I got to figure out how to build a business that will actually pay me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, 1 year in my HR consulting firm, I got a call from my CPA, this little short story. And he was like, so, by the way, you're not getting the child care tax credit this year. And I was like, what? And he was like, well, you didn't make any money, so you don't qualify for it. And I was like, that doesn't mean I didn't work. It just means things didn't go well. Right. Like that was like the end of the end for me. So I just that was like one of those prominent moments in my life. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to get a job. So. Yeah. I figured out that on the back end, I had to run this business different. I had to figure out a way to generate referrals because that felt best to me, but I didn't want to do it the way the experts told me I had to. So I was like, all right, let's see if I can figure this out. And so I really was a guinea pig. And about a year or 18 months into it, I started having my clients say, you're raising your rates on us. You're taking less clients. It's really hard to get on your schedule. What are you doing? And I remember everybody I coached was a small business owner. So they were my prime target market when I went ahead and said, or they were a solopreneur. I said, oh, I am following this referral process I made up because I didn't want to do these other things like cold call and stalk people on LinkedIn or network every night. And they're like, great, teach it to me. So when I started teaching it to them.
Gold.
Yeah, when I started teaching to them, I was like, oh, wait, look, it's five steps. And wait, why aren't you understanding this? Oh, you need a visual. And then that created the curriculum that became my program.
I love it. So, that is freaking phenomenal.
Mother being the necessity of creativity and invention, you just literally, you went along a growth pattern and saw your own opportunity.
I did. And the other thing that I learned when my first business failed is that it's really impossible to scale when you're drowning. Mm-hmm. And I knew coming in, so the business I started was a productivity and business coaching practice. Right?
Gasping for air is not scalable.
Nope. It's not. It is not a lot of things and definitely not that. But when I realized when I started my coaching practice, I also was really clear that this is a hard business to scale if you're going to trade dollars for hours. So I also had my eye on the future in a way I didn't with business number one, with the HR consulting firm, that I did with the coaching practice because I knew I needed to have a way to scale. Or I can make, you know, a couple $100,000 a year and everything will be great, but there's no real wealth building in that. And so I knew I needed something that was scalable. I didn't exactly know what it was going to be, but I was open and looking for it always. And so, you know, as a productivity and business coach, I thought I would coach people, you know, like I'm doing my online program on the things I teach people face to face. And then I very quickly realized actually what makes me different and unique is this referrals without asking process. So that doesn't mean my brand won't expand one day, but it is a great place to scale.
And is the scalability of it that is now available online?
It is. And we have international buyers in the program, UK, Australia, right? So I opened the program. It's called Growth by Referrals, or you can go to growthbyreferralsystem.com. And I open the program a couple of times a year. And there is some guided group support that comes after you buy the program. So you get through it. And then you're in a private Facebook group ongoing so I can continue to support you. And so it's really fun to help, you know, people.
So they can ask questions to the group. But not to you personally.
No, and me too.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
So when's the next one coming up?
So it's actually, that's so funny. I don't know when this will air, but right now it's actually open. I'm accepting new students through Friday, but that's April 20th, and I don't know when this will air. But it usually, as I always tell folks, your J months, January and July, I typically open it if you're on the wait list, but you'll only find out about it if you're on the wait list.
All right, guys, go to growthbyreferrals.com and sign up for that wait list.
Yes.
And then typically open spring and fall. To like the public. And maybe one day there'll be an evergreen where you can get in at any time, but it'll be a different price point because you won't have the 5 weeks of guided support with me.
I think that it's an amazing process. And I have studied referrals, talked to referral people, created my own strategy for referrals. You're the first person that I've talked to that agrees with me. Literally.
No.
Sorry.
Is that good or bad?
It's real good. Because most of the people who teach ask for referrals, create uncomfortable situations that most people who don't ask for referrals don't do it for specific reasons.
Right.
They haven't established enough value. They don't have a deep enough relationship. They don't know the person well enough to ask them. They're uncomfortable with it. They have reluctance. They just don't do what, I told you to ask for a referral. Well, I did this.
Yeah.
So they become Jackie Gleason in The Honeymooners. So they miss out.
Miss out on actually receiving referrals because they think I have to ask and I won't.
Hang on a second, though. Yeah. Your process takes work.
Yes.
And most salespeople, and this is a good quote of mine, are not willing to do the hard work that it takes to make sales easy.
Well, Stacy did say most people are lazy.
Yeah. But it's not just a matter of lazy. They don't look at what the potential is mm-hmm. to become unlazy.
Right. And I would also tell you, a lot of the people who are attracted to my program, to them, though, they're like, does this mean I don't have to do those other things that are really uncomfortable? Okay, I will do this work. And yeah. I find the people who commit to my program are the ones who will commit to that. They are the ones who will say, I don't have to cold call. I don't have to network. I don't need a bunch of rubber chicken. Take people to coffees that are uncomfortable. I don't want to. Okay, then I'll do this because it feels better. I also tell folks it's a little bit of a slower start,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, most people out there are always like, activity, activity, activity. Well, we're planting seeds, and yeah. they don't bloom overnight. So it's going to be a slower start.
You got to water them.
That's right. you got to take care of them. So, you know, the idea there is that the people who do it because they're usually escaping something else. And I'm like, I'm here, open arms, come, because mm-hmm. I don't want to do it either. But to your point, yeah, it's going to take work. So if you're not going to do anything, well, then, that's its own problem.
So if you're
this
a diehard,
show is called Sell or Die. So if
right,
you're not
exactly.
going to do anything,
you're going to die.
But if you're a diehard and you're looking for a referral strategy, and you're looking for a referral process that works, then Stacy is your woman. And I think that they're, you know, we get the chance to talk to a lot of famous salespeople and a lot of expert guru kind of people, but nobody that specializes in referral that totally gets it. The key to referrals is never ask, earn.
Yes.
And if you earn it, you get it. And if you don't earn it, you don't get it. And when you get the referral, you don't owe the guy anything. But there is a sort of spirit of reciprocity.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's never a tit for tat, but you do need to try and find a way to take care of them if you can.
Yeah.
And I always say, you deserve referrals. You're not owed them.
Ooh.
I like that.
Yeah.
And this has been amazing. This has been a master class on referrals.
Agreed.
It's a deep dive. This was awesome. So.
Not, and recorded in digital video forever.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
You see that camera right there?
Yeah,
you're on it, sweetie.
And that's why I had to hide my nails. They don't look as pretty.
Don't worry about it. No one's going to go, bad nails, I'm not going to hire her. I think that what it means is you're working hard.
Yes. And enjoying it.
And we respect.
Finally.
Yay.
And we respect that. And
thank you, guys.
We will pick a different place to meet.
yes.
Maybe when the minor league team from the Boston Bruins the Boston Red Sox come in,
yes.
we can go to the game because we do the Charlotte Knights.
That would be fantastic. Or we'll be at your house having chili when the Red Sox make the playoffs
against the Yankees.
Yeah. Don't hold your breath on that. But the Red Sox are looking pretty good right now. I mean, she gave you the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z of referrals. And she did it without making anybody feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think the discomfort of referral is the single biggest block in the salesperson's repertoire of reluctance.
So I had this job in high school where they literally gave us a sheet of paper with the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on them, and then lines next to each number. And they said, okay, after you make the sale, or even if you don't, take out this sheet of paper. And it was, the header was referrals. And ask them who they can introduce you to. And at first, you know, it was my first real sales job. And at first it was okay, because I knew all the people I was selling to. It was a home-based sales business. And then I started meeting people that they knew, but I didn't know. And it was so uncomfortable. I just couldn't do it. It felt so wrong.
The key to referral is the word relationship. If you don't have a relationship with someone, you have no business asking them for a referral, because you've proven nothing. If you've just sold a product or a service, like an insurance policy or a car, who the hell are you to ask somebody else to go through the same process until you have proven that you're somebody that you say you are, that you are building a value-based relationship based on a few months worth of interactions. Come on, do the work. And if you do the work, the referrals will show up. And if you don't do the work, you're going to make everybody uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I've said it a lot. I can say it again. If you make a sale and you ask for a referral and the person says, well, geez, let me think about it and I'll get back to you. And you call them back in a week and they say, and you say, hey, how about those referrals? And you go, oh, I haven't really come up with any yet. And then you call them back a week later and for some reason they won't take your call and they will never take your call again because you're a taker. Where's the value? And tell your boss, if he has any problems with that, to call me personally so I can tell him what an idiot he is. You can't put a relationship in jeopardy by forcing someone to give you a reluctant referral. That's all I'm saying. And I may be wrong, but I doubt it. And anybody who wants to challenge me, just email sellerdie@gittimer.com.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Challenge Jeffrey. I love it. I love it. Hey, you guys are being amazing in the Facebook group, and it's so cool to see so many people participating and engaging and really asking questions, and I love interacting with you all, and so does Jeffrey. And, well, I'm speaking for him, but I assume you love interacting with everyone in our
My favorite group. Thing on the planet.
There you go. So we're going to start going live in that group as well. All you need to do is search for Seller Die. And you'll find the official group on Facebook and join us.
Please join us. And please join us next week because we've got all kinds of stuff going on.
This is really cool. It's August, so we're going live every day on Seller Die. Every
Ooh.
Day. Next week we have Daniel Disney. Next week we have Sam Cayucci. We have some great extras and Motivation Monday. It's freaking
Sam
awesome.
Sam Cayucci is the game guy.
Yeah, he is. He is.
And we're turning learning into games, and it's working. And Sam Cayucci will give you some insight that you have never thought about before with respect to making training stick.
Yeah. So we want to continue going live on our podcast for you diehards every single day of the week, but we need your help. Give us a 5-star review, subscribe to the show, and share it with your friends.
If you're comfortable, refer it.
There you go.
And this is Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm reminding you to get out there and sell something even if your ass falls off.
Sell or Die Hards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.